Welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the official podcast of everythingaction.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the podcast for June 21st, 2021. I'm your host, Zach. Joining us this week, we have Chris.
Hello.
And let's jump right in. We got a ton of stuff to talk about this week. And we'll kick things off with some trailers. We got a bunch of big trailers for stuff that's coming up. Most of the stuff we've already seen, but new, longer looks at a bunch of stuff. So we'll kick things off. We got a new trailer for Snake Eyes, Snake Eyes G.I. Joe Origins, which is coming out in the end of July. And yeah, so Henry Golding is Snake Eyes, and is telling it the story of how he got trained as a ninja, and then I guess joined G.I. Joe.
Potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully. Because this movie feels like it could be his own thing and just never be G.I. Joe.
It's like Scarlet and Baroness are there, so that's like your G.I. Joe tie-in, but apparently I didn't hear it in the trailer, but like I guess maybe someone heard in the trailer like someone says like, oh, G.I. Joe's been around for like 600 years or something. So I wonder if someone just got confused with like the Arishikage and the G.I. Joe, because that'd be very bizarre if like G.I. Joe was like this like Masonic or something, like the Templars or something, where just like they've been around
like in the U.S.
Yeah. Yeah, G.I. Joe is the U.S. term, but yeah, they've been around for in like the Crusades. The G.I. Joes are fighting.
Well, it's like I'm trying to think what you got minus this decade, so it'll be like 14 something something.
Yeah,
and then it's like, and even then, that's like what are they, the Spanish War? Like,
yeah. So maybe someone misheard like that, like the Arishikage ninjas have been around for 600 years or more.
That totally makes sense, because that's like Middle Ages, and it's kind of around the feudal, but in the feudal is like 17th mm-hmm. century, so it's weird math.
But yeah, but it looks like Snake Eyes is like he's like an underground fighter, and he works in like a some sort of fish processing plant, but then that's like run by like the Yakuza or some sort of crime organization. But then he helps like save one of the crime boss guys, Tommy, aka Storm Shadow. He's played by Andrew Koji from Warrior. And he's like, oh, I'm like, you saved my life, so I'm gonna take you back to my ninja clan. And you can train
you're
as a ninja.
You're my brother.
Yeah, somehow. You're my brother now. Yeah.
That to me seems like this is one crazy ass week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not such a great connection in the sense that, like, Snake Eyes I forgot his name, like, what Snake Eyes' real name.
He doesn't really, I don't think they ever say his real name.
I know Tommy, like, Storm Shadow's always been Tommy, but.
Yeah, I think even on, like, the toy back in the day, like, the Snake Eyes toy, like, the name feels just a question mark for Snake Eyes.
Right.
But yeah, it seems like maybe the thing is like Cobra shows up and is like, hey, Arishikage, like you gotta join Cobra, and then it seems like maybe most of them do, but then Snake is just like, nah. And so then he's like fight his brother and fight the Arishikage.
So you think the Arishikage are evil?
I think that's like that was a big thing. That was like a thing of like yeah, like, they joined Cobra.
They're supposed to be neutral. Like, in the comic, they're very neutral. It's just that whoever's, like, top dog, they'll, like, a few foot soldiers will follow them.
Yeah, maybe it was just Storm Shadow joined. That might have been the whole thing. Like Storm Shadow betrayed the ball, then that was, like, the whole thing.
Yeah, Storm Shadow's supposed to be that. Like, he leaves.
So, in the
original comic, he's just part of them, but they're more like just a school. So if you leave, mm-hmm. it's just like whatever. But
yeah.
Storm Shadow, like there's an offshoot of the Arishikage that sort of like Cobra buys, like like a mercenary team, and they're like the like kind of like a demon unit. Because I definitely remember those like magic and shit. Like it was a weird story arc. Yeah. It was around the same time that like Storm Shadow like was resurrected, sort of, because he got shot by Baroness or Destro, and then they brought him back to life. So he got injured. It was something in the comic. And this is around the time when Storm Shadow was about to, like, he ditched, he left the Cobra because he got betrayed, and he was just like, I'm like, he was either brainwashed or, like, sort of like, oh, you know, you guys are assholes. But yeah, the like, weird Cobra ninja unit is, like, born from that, like, Nishikage, like, schooling that they bought, and then... Like, I don't think the movie needs to cover that. They can just be, like, ninjas are just kind of, like, mercenaries sometimes. So it's, like, you just buy ninja support.
Yeah, like, probably Storm Shadow's probably like, all right, I'm going to join Cobra. And then he's like, Snake Eyes, come with me. And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm like, because they're evil. And then it's just like, all right, we're fighting now.
Yeah, I can see that. That's a classic storyline. You don't need to do something weird. You don't need to do, like... oh, it's an honor thing, or, you know, I mean, it is for Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow in that sense, but it's not like, you know, the school was like, oh, Snake Eyes, like, we trained for this moment to lead, you know, to you and Storm Shadow to join this, like, terrorist organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that seems weird. Because it seems like their school is very diverse, so it doesn't make sense for them to be Cobra. It would be make sense for them to, like, you know, be bought. And, you know, use their service, but they wouldn't be like, oh, we all have to join?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even Ika Uwe?
Yeah. Who's he playing? I think he's playing, like, Hardmaster or something. But, yeah, I mean, it looks like the action of Snake Eyes looks pretty awesome. Like, hopefully this is, like, a awesome G.I. Joe. Because, like, that's I would want nothing more than for this to be an awesome G.I. Joe movie, though. And then this is, like, the template for, like, future G.I. Joe movies. Like, kind of just, like, wipe out the last ones, even though Retaliation was fine. But, yeah, like, if this, hopefully this one's awesome, and then we get, like an actual, new, proper full G.I. Joe movie that's, like, the same, kind of, like, that same template of just, like, cool action and more, just get all the regulars back in there with new actors.
Makes sense, yeah. I kind of get what they're doing. They're trying to, like, reboot with, like, the cool angle, where it's like, okay, you don't need to dive into G.I. Joe necessarily, just where you take, like, the one of the best characters.
Like,
yeah, the Ninja Force, which is, like, a totally 90s thing, and...
Do you like the raid and stuff?
It doesn't have that raid vibe all the way, though.
No, because it's PG-13, so it's obviously not as crazy violent as, like...
Can you imagine if they had the balls to do a big R?
Yeah. Like, what was the short, like, the Adult Swim cartoon?
Renegade. Resolution?
Right, Resolute, yeah. That was, like, blood all over that and stuff. So that was, yeah, that's probably the closest we're going to get to, like, an R-rated G.I. Joe.
Oh, see, the one thing I kind of notice in the story, it kind of resembles Devil's Due Publishing's version of Storm Shadow. Where he's more like a Yakuza henchman. Like, he's ninja, but he's like...
Yeah, it definitely seems like that in the beginning, that's what he is. Like, he's, like, some sort of Yakuza guy who's running this, like, fish processing plant or whatever.
Right, but in that sense, it's like, you know, he's more modernized ninja, because it doesn't seem like... I know he's, like, a ninja, but then it's like, you're a terrible ninja if basically you're just showcasing... how not of a ninja you are.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I guess we'll find out in July what's going on with Snake Eyes. I believe it's going to be in theaters, but I think it's going to be part of the shortened window for Paramount Plus. So 45 days after it's in theaters, it'll be on Paramount Plus. If you want to wait and you have Paramount Plus, you could. Wait like a month and a half or whatever and then see it. And then speaking of stuff that's gonna be at home as well as theaters, we also got a brand new trailer for The Suicide Squad, which is the big reboot or reboot-quel, I guess, from James Gunn.
So they really did confirm that basically there is no connection to the first one?
Well, I mean, it's sort of both because it's like a reboot because like it's like totally new tone and totally like create like just everything about it is like totally different from the first one. But then also like Margot Robbie's still there and Joel Kinnaman's still there and Jai Courtney's still there. So it's like it is a sequel to like Suicide Squad / Birds of Prey, I guess. But then like it like tone wise, it's totally a brand new thing.
Okay. So I feel like the look definitely is different.
Yeah.
And the whole character following is more what the first movie should have been.
Yeah, this is what everyone wanted the first movie to be. Like, just create a crazy cast of, like, D-list villains. At least half of them get horribly murdered. Just, like, an over-the-top action, over-the-top, like, yeah, like characters and I mean fucking Polka Dot Man and Javelin and all these other like super D-list like DC villains. But so Amanda Waller basically reassembles the squad and like with like this and it's a however many people like a dozen like it's like a dirty dozen now. And they're sent to South America to like because there's some group is trying to like do something called Project Starfish, which is very obviously Starro, like the classic like ridiculous DC like alien starfish monster. So that's like basically like what the Suicide Squad is going to like eventually fight Starro.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and then this new trailer is pretty focused on Bloodsport, which is played by Idris Elba. Who apparently put Superman into the ICU with a kryptonite bullet, but then got captured. But he's one of the main new members. And then you have Harley's back, Rick Flagg, Captain Boomerang, Polka Dot Man, Ratcatcher, Peacemaker, who's with John Cena, who's going to get his own show, obviously, on HBO Max. Yeah, Javelin, the Thinker, King Shark, voiced by Stallone, Savant, played by Michael Rooker, Weasel, who's like motion captured by Sean Gunn, which was a great like that was a great bit in the trailer of just like, is he a dog or like a werewolf? Or... no, he's a weasel.
I do like the latest trailer where they think he's like a werewolf and Pete Davidson's freaking out.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Pete Davidson's playing I think like Blackguard or something. I just can't wait to like for like everyone except for like I would say it's probably gonna come down to like Harley, Rick Flagg, baby. Like, do you think like Jerry Courtney's gonna like make it through the whole movie again or
mm-mm, no?
They're gonna kill him. I feel like King Shark's probably gonna make it because everyone loves King Shark.
Yeah, but it's like ironically they're like, oh shit, they like him. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? They didn't expect everyone to like him as much. Because they're like, oh, he's not like Groot or, you know, like, they really tried to make him not like the lovable, dumb muscle like Groot was. So they're really trying to do something different.
Yeah. Well, I think the Harley Quinn like animated show probably helped a lot of like King Shark love. Everyone loves King Shark in that show.
I think that did... Yeah, but they didn't really talk, so I guess it's not like they're still building up King Shark hype. I feel like
that was different because like King Shark like in Harley Quinn shows like talk like very talkative and like just like the super sweet IT guy. But then like normally King Shark in the comics is like the Hulk where he just says like one word and like bites someone in half or something. Which seems
that's why I'm like, I don't think they nailed it with this one. Like, I feel like they're like, oh shit, because they tried to play like how dumb he was, and then once they realize like, uh-oh, like he's gonna be a fan favorite, they're like, let's not mention how much he's in this movie then, because you know you can probably tell he's not making it that far.
You think you're gonna kill King Shark too? Because I mean, he's. I feel like he's there for the final battle. Looks like, because it looks like he's fighting Starro. So I feel like he's gonna make it like at least to the end.
Well, that could be a misdirection where maybe like, the movie is
Starro is like halfway through, and then there's like more after that.
Yeah, yeah. Like that's not, that necessarily might not be the end. The Starro part could just be like the midpoint where it's like, oh shit, like that's where the Starro is. Mm-hmm. And then, like, it runs off, and then they have to go do something to kind of get back at Starro, or, like, they have to, like, figure out who's controlling Starro, or, you know, something.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my theory. Like, James Gunn's movies sometimes can be very linear, where, like, you can kind of tell and tell by the trailer, or you have to play up, like, he thinks, he already knows you think the movie one way, he's going to surprise you with another way.
Mm-hmm.
So... I don't know. I'm down to see it. Like, it's definitely a movie I would say, like, worth to see just to check it out. Because yeah, it can't get any weirder.
I'm super excited. Like, it looks like this is what this first movie should have been.
100%. Totally. That's the thing. It's like, I would be excited if this was, like, a sequel. But the fact that this is kind of like, oh, let's just start clean the slate.
Sort of. Like, we have returning characters, but, like, yeah, this is going to be, like, a brand new kind of... This is the Suicide Squad, though.
Right.
The other one kind of sort of happened.
Let's not talk about that one, yeah. Apparently.
Never mention Enchantress or the other, whoever else would help. Like, never mention Slipknot. Although, that'd be hilarious. Like, if there's some sort of, like, Slipknot joke, that'd be hilarious if they just, like...
They really should have leaned into it. Like,
yeah.
Acknowledge the fact that
movie that was, didn't yeah, well. that was the only like really like that was like the true Suicide Squad moment of just like, oh, just like a random just like Z-list DC villain gets like blown up. So but it's Suicide Squad is gonna be August 6th in theaters and also on HBO Max. So either way, however you want to watch that one, you can check that out. And then also in August, we got a new trailer for Candyman, which I feel like new Candyman has been like one of the most delayed movies because of like everything that's been going on. Like it's had at least three or four different like release dates. Like it was supposed to be like September last year, then October last year, and now it's like end of August this year. But yeah, so new trailer. This one's also sort of it's a spiritual sequel. So I think it's basically a like. Acknowledges the first movie that happened, but it's like now it's like decades after like that movie, and Cabrini Green, which was like the housing project in the first movie, is now like basically it's demolished. Now it's like a very like upscale gentrified like condos for like hip young professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And so Abdul-Mateen II and Teyonah Parris are like they're a couple like Teyonah Parris owns like an art gallery, and then like Yahya Abdul-Mateen II is like a artist, and he is like, oh, I'm gonna go investigate like this like Candyman thing for like this new art project, and then apparently that like his like investigation like unleashes Candyman again.
Although, I mean, do you think he just says the words a lot, or he finds something physical? Because
what what I'm getting from the trailer is I feel he's turning into somehow Candyman's possessing him or something and turning him into the new Candyman.
I got that vibe too.
Like, cause Tony Todd is going to be back in some capacity, but I don't think he's going to be like full on like Candyman again.
Maybe archive photos.
Or like he'll only appear in like a mirror or something, but then it's like actually like Yaya like is like the one like he's the one actually like one killing people, but like it's like you kind of see like glimpse of Tony Todd maybe or something.
I can see that.
But it was co-written by Jordan Peele, so it's gonna have that sort of his horror vibe. If you so either like if you're into that or not, like if you like Get Out and Us, then this is probably gonna be very similar as far as like tone and stuff. It does look pretty brutal. Like, this looks like there's gonna be some brutal like kills happening.
Yeah, it's a lot more like killing in like not just apartment in like that area. It's like he gets summoned and he's chasing people in like other big like places. Because like the original Candyman only stalked this one woman all the time. Like,
yeah,
and then he shows up in like kind of like in mirrors in the house or the apartment, but never like.
Because, well, yeah, because you say Candyman five times, then he appears and then like murders you.
But it seems like he, like, not everyone saying Candyman, like he just shows up to mess with people now.
Yeah. Well, like the first one, he got like obsessed with like Virginia Madsen.
Mm-hmm.
And because I think it was like tied to like, because like that was like his backstory, like he like fell in love with like his
white,
like,
woman.
Yeah, it's like the slave owner, like the plantation owner's wife or something. So that's like his, like, now it's like his like lost love or whatever, and there's the whole like be my victim thing and stuff. Mm-hmm. So but yeah, I mean, it looks pretty good. Like, we'll probably check it out at some point. Yeah, so August 27th in theaters only. There's no other like weird streaming option for this one until probably a month or two later. Like, it's gonna have like a normal release and everything. And then last trailer this week is, we got the first trailer for a new Netflix Western called The Harder They Fall, which definitely has, looks like it has some like very like Django Unchained vibes going on. But it's basically, you have Jonathan Majors from Lovecraft Country is playing Nat Love, who was like a real like Western cowboy. And he is after his arch nemesis, who's Rufus Buck, who's played by Idris Elba. And so they both like kind of assemble their crews, and the crews are going after each other.
See, I was confused. I couldn't figure out who's on whose crew.
I think it's Idris Elba, Regina King, and okay, the Keith Stanfield are like one group. And then you've got Jonathan Majors, Zazie Beetz, RJ Seiler, who was like Billy in the Power Rangers reboot. And then Delroy Lindo, I believe, are like the other team or the other crew. And it looks like they're just shootouts and going after each other, and typical like Western stuff with like a cool soundtrack and like lots of style and lots of blood. It's the director, James Samuel, he actually directed like another like similar movie called They Die by Dawn, which came out in 2013, which also had, it was also like Western, but had a pretty crazy cast in, like it had like Giancarlo Esposito and Rosario Dawson and Kelly Hugh and Michael Kenneth Williams and Bokeem Woodbine. So he's done westerns before, so. But it looks awesome, like definitely has like kind of Django vibes. Just a cool cast fight each other in the West. Like, I'm down. And it's gonna be out sometime later this year. It doesn't have a solid release date yet. I think it said like fall possibly, and it's gonna be on Netflix but also like in select theaters, so you might be able to check it out actually in a theater if it shows up near you, or you can just do the typical like watch it on Netflix. So that's it for shows this week. So I'll jump into some other news. We got some news this week that Disney is making a new Tower of Terror movie with Scarlett Johansson. So Scarlett Johansson is going to star in a new movie based on Tower of Terror.
I mean, are they going to acknowledge the Gutenberg version?
Oh man, they need to have like, yeah, the Goot needs to like show up in it at some point and just be like, just like hand over the keys to the tower. Like, he's been like running the hotel or whatever, and just like hands over, like, here's the keys. Later.
I mean, or you could play like the daughter of Gutenberg.
Well, that was Kirsten Dunst, wasn't it?
I don't remember. I mean, it could be the daughter now.
Kirsten Dunst grew into Scarlett Johansson. I wonder. I mean, there probably be a weird licensing thing, but like, do you think like they're probably not going to acknowledge like the Twilight Zone at all? Because it's like you'd probably have to license the Twilight Zone from like CBS or something. So,
Yeah, they probably didn't want to do that, so they're just going to have to do a whole new story. But technically, the Twilight, even the Tower of Terror, the story and the ride isn't really based on a Twilight Zone episode.
It's, well, it's right, like, there's like an intro video, and like Rod Sterling's like it's like, oh, like, you're going to experience, like, this, like, you're going to get to experience this event that happened at this hotel when these five guests like vanished,
You know what I mean? Like, I get that, but it's not like it's based on an actual...
It's not, it wasn't based on an episode or anything, yeah.
So I don't know why the Tower of Terror, I mean, they really should just remake the Tower of Terror ride, but
the one in California is gone. It's Guardians of the Galaxy now.
Yeah, I've been on it. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
The new one, I mean, the old one is still fun, and the new one's a different action, presentation. Essentially, it's the same ride. Way more drops than the Guardians of the Galaxy one. But, you know, it's a very tricky, copyright to do this, because basically, if they do this movie, they basically have to keep paying the rights to CBS to always have Tower of Terror in their park. You know, it's not like they did Jungle Cruise, and it's Jungle Cruise is owned by someone else, and one day that could just be gone from Disney.
Yeah.
So, of the rides to movies, weird choice.
And, there's no plot details yet. Josh Cooley, who directed Toy Story 4 and wrote Inside Out, is writing the script for this one. But there's no director, and... Yeah, pretty much all we know, it's based on the ride, and Scarlett Johansson's gonna star in it. I wonder, do you think that it would be like a modern where like Scarlett Johansson like is like at this hotel and then like is like investigating like ghosts, or would do you think it'd be like a period piece where like how the ghost happened?
I think it's like, since it's like a Disney movie, it's more like she doesn't believe it and then she stays, and then
she probably inherits like the Hollywood Tower Hotel, and it's just like, oh, it's haunted, and then
yeah.
And there's gonna be some. Well, the weird thing too is like there's not like Haunted Mansion at least like has like a lot more like backstory and stuff. Like you have like the like what's her name, like the sorceress, like Madam whatever her name is. And you have like all sorts of like other ghosts, but then like Tower of Terror is just like lightning hit this hotel, and then five people disappeared.
Yeah, I mean, it's so
you don't really have like a villain, right? Like the villain is nature. Like the villain is like lightning.
Yeah, so they're going that route where basically lightning struck it, and then at that point it's like what happened was like a freak of nature where you can't blame the hotel for its elevator teleporting.
Yeah. One of the ghosts is like evil or something. Like it's just like I'm mad I got killed by lightning. I'm gonna kill all the living now. Like I'm gonna kill anyone who enters this elevator. It's gonna turn into like that M. Night Shyamalan movie, Devil or whatever, or that was the elevator movie.
Yeah, basically that's Tower of Terror too.
Yeah, it's gonna be a killer elevator movie.
Yeah, a kill box. I can't imagine what like a Disney-fied version of that would be.
Mm-hmm.
No one dies. It just everyone goes to sleep.
Yeah, you couldn't really kill anyone. It's just like, oh, they vanished. Now they're ghosts. But yeah, I guess we'll see. This one's it's pretty far out, so we'll wait by a year or two and see what's going on with this one. Jungle Cruise is our next big ride to movie adaptation. So we also got some news this week that two of our favorites are teaming up. So we've got Dolph Lundgren and Frank Grillo are going to be starring in a new movie called Operation Seawolf, which is going to be a World War II submarine action movie.
I mean, these two guys are great at fighting. Now they put them in a ship.
Mm-hmm. And it's based on I think there actually was like a U-boat called like the Seawolf.
Seawolf?
Yeah.
I think they're like the bad guys though, right?
Yes, yeah, it's a German U-boat. Yes, they're evil, or Nazis or whatever. But it's basically like it's toward the end. The plot of the movie is that it's basically like the last like days of World War II, and Germany sends like the Seawolf out on like one last mission, which is like try to like make it to like New York City and attack the U.S. mainland. And then apparently some like I guess something happens along the way. So I would probably imagine like Dolph would probably be like, I would imagine he would be the captain of the Seawolf, and then maybe Frank Grillo is like some sort of like American, like he like is like the captain of some sort of like American ship or something, or like, yeah,
capture American.
And then yeah, it's like it's like Die Hard, where like Frank Grillo like breaks out like where he's being held on the U-boat and like takes everyone down or something. It's also weird too, because like it's also like every time Dolph Lundgren is like teaming up with someone, it's always like a submarine movie, because he and Van Damme were in like Blackwater, like recently, like a couple years ago, which I think also was a submarine movie. I guess it's sort of easy to like do a submarine, because like you just make one set and it's like it's all in the submarine. You can't leave because you're underwater. Like,
I mean, they try to do that with like Money Plane and see how that went.
hopefully this will be better than Money Plane. But yeah, this is, it's a 2022 movie, so we'll probably find out more later. But yeah, those two guys in a movie, I think will, no matter what it is, we'll probably check it out. hopefully it's better than like Frank Grillo's team ups with Bruce Willis, though, because that was not good. Cosmic City.
I can't believe they
good.
Did it not only once, you know, they did it a couple times.
Yeah. So last bit of news for this week is that we got a bunch of news about the new upcoming Transformers movie. So the next movie in the franchise is going to be officially called Transformers Rise of the Beasts. And it will be focused on like Beast Wars characters, but also characters from like the original G1 line as well. So basically it's set in 1994. And Optimus Prime is going to be the main character, but it's going to be like the Bumblebee style G1 Optimus Prime, not the like crazy murderous Optimus Prime of like the Michael Bay movies. They're basically going to have like the Beast, like the Predacons and the Maximals are going to be kind of like they've existed on like Earth for however millions of years. So like they're kind of like, like some of them are actually like rusting because they've been around for so long, but there is going to be like Optimus Primal and Rhinox and some of the other like Beast Wars characters. And there's also going to be the Terrorcons are going to be the main villains, who are basically like zombie Decepticons who like run on dark energon.
I don't even know what that is.
And they're led by Scourge, who was like in like the who used to, I think in the original like 80s animated movie, Scourge was Thundercracker, who was like one of the Jets, but then he got transformed into Scourge by Unicron. So when a bunch of the Decepticons like got like transformed into like Unicron agents, including like Megatron turned into Galvatron and stuff. So Thundercracker turned into Scourge, and then there's a couple other guys got transformed to other new Transformers, new toys, obviously. And then as far as the human side, Anthony Ramos, who is currently starring in The Heights, is going to be one of the human stars. And also Dominic Fishback, who was in Judas and the Black Messiah, and also Netflix movie Power. She's going to be the other co-star of the movie. And then Stephen Caple Jr., who directed Creed 2, is going to be directing the movie. So no Michael Bay. I think Michael Bay is still producing it or gets credit or something. But they're definitely trying to like distance themselves from like the Bayformers, and like this is like Bumblebee is the inspiration now for the future, the Transformers movies.
That's pretty good, you know.
Which go that direction, because the brief glimpses we got of like the G1 Cybertron and stuff and Bumblebee was the best Transformers thing that has ever been a film. Like the 5 minutes of Cybertron like backstory and Bumblebee was better than like every Michael Bay movie combined. So if they're like using Bumblebee as a template and going forward with that, then I'm actually kind of excited for like Transformers movies. And also just seeing live action Beast Wars finally is gonna be pretty awesome, hopefully. Because that was my introduction to Transformers. I don't know about you, Chris.
Beast Wars? Like, you didn't watch G1?
I didn't know, because I was like, well, I didn't have cable, so I didn't really, when I was like younger, so I didn't really have like, I don't know if it was still on like USA or something in like the early 90s or whatever, but like Beast Wars was like in syndication, so it was like everywhere. So yeah, I was able to watch like Beast Wars on just broadcast television. So that's the one like that got me into Transformers. And then I obviously like got like I like learned about G1 later and like got into some of that G1 stuff. But yeah, Beast Wars always first to me.
Yeah, G1 was for me because it was on like USA.
That's yeah.
That, Cartoon like, Morning.
I didn't have USA for a while when I was young, so
that makes sense then. I mean, I think Beast Wars was on like UPN.
It was syndicated, so like whatever local affiliate wanted to buy it, they could buy Beast Wars and air it. So it wasn't like tied to like one network or one company or anything. It was just like, you want to buy Beast Wars? Here it is. But then it was also like, oh, it's not part of like the like Fox Kids lineup or anything. So it's got to be it's on like 7 a.m. or 6 a.m. or something.
Yep, I remember Monday morning cartoons, like all the weekday cartoon schedules start at like 6 or 5:30 sometimes.
Mm-hmm. But so Transformers Rise of the Beasts, they're looking at a June 24th release next year. So definitely ways off. Hopefully we'll hear some more stuff later this year or like early next year or something. And that's pretty much it for news this week. So I jump into show and tell. And Chris, did you see anything over the last week or so here?
Caught an episode of the weekly Loki episode.
Are you totally caught up? Like you've seen all three? Or... Yeah, it's pretty awesome so far.
Yeah, it's a lot of people are saying, which I'm agreeing now, like it's basically just like Marvel's attempt at making Doctor Who. Have you heard that a lot?
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
Because it's like time, and there's like variants, and there's like alternate history that sort of makes like sticks to the same history, but doesn't.
Mm-hmm. And you can just go like wherever you want, whenever you want.
Yeah, the weird crystal, like whatever time machine thing. It's not really a MacGuffin, because it's kind of just like this weird data pad that seems really vulnerable to break.
Oh yeah, like the temp pad that they use to like jump like back and forth.
Yeah, you figure that thing should have been more compact or like a briefcase or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Loki probably should have like just probably shouldn't have had it in his pocket or whatever he had whenever he had it. But yeah, it's been really good so far. Like definitely, like all the stuff with like the TVA is pretty fun, and like the hints that this show is definitely gonna call like the multiverse is gonna happen at the end of this series. Like there's no way it's not gonna happen. They're teasing it too much for it not to happen. Like it's gonna like. Whatever it's gonna redline or whatever they call it, and then like we're gonna get like splinters of like that's how like Spider-Man's gonna happen and like all the other stuff's gonna happen.
Yeah, I mean you don't. That's the thing about this time thing. You don't know where exactly it falls into place. Is it? I know it's right after Endgame, but
well, they pluck Loki out of Avengers, obviously, like Avengers 2012, the first Avengers movie. But yeah, but the TVA is just like out of, they exist outside of time.
So like a lot of this plot could just happen in its own contained thing. Mm-hmm. But I guess, you know, if they're smart, they'll like cross over with other things. You know, like they.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, however Loki ends, it's probably gonna lead directly into like however Spider-Man happens with like all these like characters from other movies coming over, and then Doctor Strange is called Multiverse of Madness. So obviously the multiverse has to happen at some point. So this is probably like Loki's probably like the starting point of like, oh god, the multiverse is happening. You know, we couldn't stop whatever was happening. So now there's like the red line.
Or, no, I meant like I would also love to see a little bit of like universe building to the current like phase. Like, I don't know, maybe not a Wanda Vision thing, but something that kind of indicates that this is where these events take place post Endgame. You know, like more crossover characters or cameos during this show.
Maybe it's coming. There's still 3 episodes left, so.
I got a feeling it's not, though. Because they filmed this thing all over the place, so you don't know. They didn't know how it would work. And I feel like Loki was in development first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they kind of just wrapped up certain things and just kind of shot out the door whenever things kind of were filming. But I would have loved to send, like, a Winter Soldier kind of like, oh, like, you know, he pops into that, like, he sees that events go down, or, you know what I mean, like, something to tell me that it's during this phase. Well, all TV shows don't really connect, like.
I think the point of Loki is, like, I mean, when the TVA is, like, they, it doesn't matter, like, they're, like, beyond
phases. No, but that's what I'm saying, like, either have it that way, but then you can't have consequences that also play into future things if this doesn't take place during the time it should happen. My reasoning is basically WandaVision happens like sort of after Endgame.
Yeah.
And then Falcon Winter Soldier is like easily like a year after Endgame or more. Less, you know, like, so Loki's supposed to during the time of Endgame, but then that's how it starts, and then it's plucked out of time and doing its own thing. But I would have loved a, like, I don't know, like some sort of glancing window to show that this is all within that same phase of the like this new multiverse yet. Because I know they keep hyping up that Loki's gonna connect, but there's like 3 episodes in, there's no build up to it. You kind of have its own like separate adventure.
Well, he sees the events of Infinity War and Endgame because they didn't happen to him specifically. It happened to the other like the sacred timeline Loki.
Right, but I'm saying basically I would have loved more cohesion with things that are going to happen in this phase. You know, like maybe an internal like. Reference or like I don't know, like,
well, I mean, the way the TVA works, like they could like anything could affect anything at any time, so
but that's during that's the inner thing, but I would have liked it in the production of like this phase. Like certain movies, they reference like certain other events, or it's like this mm-hmm. is before that event. But Loki, if it's such a world building thing, you figured there'd be more connections to what's going on with like the Disney Plus, you know, TV series. At least Netflix had the balls to kind of like mention certain connecting storylines, like or like connecting threads to sort of each other. But this Disney Plus doesn't do that. Do you understand the difference?
Well, I think this is gonna set things in, like this is gonna set things in motion. Then they have to deal with it in like future, like whatever happens to Loki, I think they're gonna have to deal with it in Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, definitely, because those two movies are definitely setting up. Like they're gonna have
Yeah, but that's
sort of multiverse
like,
thing.
But that that's like that's, but that's like a response to basically like this. But that feels like that was the overarching thought. But the things that like as a comic fan or even as like a very like eagle eye viewer who's been really obsessed with like how connected the Marvel universe is, not too much connection. Like it's very it's his own Loki thing, and it's like I would have loved to see in WandaVision like one of those like detonator boxes just show up randomly, you know, like and then it gets like sent away. Some sort of thing where basically if you were smart about how you would write the storyline, when you fuck up that much time things, you would have like thrown that in to show that it's connected. It's basically there if the events play out in a way where it wraps up the loop, so whatever happened up until a certain point in the TV show didn't matter anymore, you know what I mean? Like it's that. It's like, oh, so you solve the problem. So now you've got this bootstrap issue of like, how did this start then? If you solved the first, if you stopped it before it happened. And that's the thing about time travel shows. It's like, if you stop the event that's supposed to start the event, then how did you start the event in the first place? Because it would have solved itself. So if Loki's that, like, if evil Loki, like, you know, the other Loki variant,
Sylvie,
Sylvie is doing things that like fuck up the main timeline. I would have liked to see something that kind of connects to that besides it being like, oh, we'll solve it by the end of the show, or hopefully we'll solve some of it.
Well, yeah, maybe if they maybe like cause they got to get out of their current predicament on the whatever that plan, and then maybe if they get back to the TVA, maybe we'll find out what's going on more.
I'm just saying it's a tease that has always been there since WandaVision, where you hope to see other characters, but you never do, like other universe building situations or interconnected like storylines, and you just haven't seen that at all. More WandaVision started it. Falcon Winter Soldier really fucking just bolt throws through that. So it's like, let's never talk to Wanda after her thing. It's like Falcon doesn't even mention it, you know, like no one brings it up.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, the show's like, they're acknowledging Endgame, but then they're like kind of like just siloed into their, like they're like dealing with their own problems, not like reaching out to other things.
Okay, but see, that's the thing. It makes sense for Loki not to do it because literally he just got his ass kicked by like the first generation Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
So I get his thing, but everything else, the more I watch it, the more like, wait a minute, they really should have been like a reference thrown in, or maybe just like someone should just talk about like, hey, have you seen what's going on with Wanda? Like, you know what I mean? Just like someone throw that in. They never fucking do. That's what I'm pissed about.
Well, they probably don't. I mean, they probably don't care because like that was supposed to happen. Like everything that with Wanda was supposed to happen on the timeline. So they don't give a shit.
See, that's the thing. So now it's like free will becomes kind of question in Loki, which really messes with like your mind of like, wait a minute. Like,
I think we're getting to like some sort of like reveal with like the timekeepers are gonna be like they're gonna get like blown up or like killed or something, and that's gonna like that's what is gonna like blow up the timeline or something, because we learned like this week that like every like they, like all the TV agents have been lied to because like they did exist, they weren't just created by the timekeepers, they were like plucked out of time because they're all variants, but they got like mind wiped, and they don't know, they like they're being lied to by the timekeepers.
Yeah, I that was interesting, but that's so thrown in last minute, and like I was like, there's only like 10 minutes left of the episode. What? That's a big reveal.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's a nice fun adventure. Don't get me wrong, I'm enjoying it. I'm only negative about like I'm a Marvel nerd, so when it's like, okay, what all are they gonna do with this like cool concept? It's like they're really playing it safe right now. And I'm like, I wish it would be more daring with like the universe building, because it's not like they have to get the rights for more characters, you know, like I wanted to it be kind of let loose and crazy with like a true multi-universe, multi like expansive thing. And it's like, yeah, we're playing it safe. Let's go to some like obscure planet. New
place. Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah, right. It would be fun if they went to like somewhere we've seen before, like if they went to like a Guardians planet or something, or they could go to like Nova, like because like the whole thing with like the apocalypse is like they could go to, like whatever planet like the Nova Corps was on, and like before like Thanos like killed them all or whatever.
Nova Prime.
Yeah, because then Thanos like wiped out that whole planet.
I think it wiped out and got cleansed.
To get like to get the Tesseract and the. Was Tesseract and like the
No, it was just the one. The Tesseract is already in the keep the.
Oh no! They had the power. They had the power gem.
Power gem. That's the one.
Because the Tesseract and then like the ether, which was like what was the actual like was that like
inside
was that in reality? Well, when Thanos got them, like because they were on, they were like they gave like the. Thor and them gave them to like the Collector. They gave both of them to Collector, I think, right?
Yep. Bad idea to keep giving like two stones together.
Yeah. But yeah, Loki super fun. I think it's my favorite so far of the three shows.
I don't know. It depends on what you're in the mood for.
I guess we'll see how it ends. Like, if it ends horribly, then I guess then it's gonna drop down. But like right now, like it's super cool and like I'm loving everything they're doing right now.
I like it.
Oh,
I'm just nitpicking it still. But the only thing is, I really appreciate is that every episode feels it ends in a satisfying way where it doesn't make you question like, oh no, what happens, why, there's so many unexplainable things. Like WandaVision did that a lot. Every episode was like, ooh, who knows what's going on? We won't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Where in this, it just seems like really like fun adventures that, you know, either go decently well or not well at all, but it ends on a like, okay, what they're currently doing is like wrapped up.
Mm-hmm.
As depressing as it is for the next the latest episode.
Yeah, how are they gonna get out of that mess?
Yeah, that's what I'm interested, but it's like whatever they do, it's like I understand, you know.
I feel like the simplest thing would probably be like Owen Wilson like pops in and just like, what the hell are you guys doing? Get in here.
Yeah, I could see that. Or I could see basically there's an even bigger theory, and this is kind of like mild spoiler alert. I'm kind of taking it from someone else online, but it could be that like this whole event that's happening is not actually happening. It's all like part of a mind thing that Sylvie is doing to Loki. Yeah, it's like, remember when he touched her and he's like, what are you doing? It's like from there on, this is all in their head. Like it's not actually happening to them because she just really wants to get to know where the that like teleporter is, and she has to like break down his will in order for like break down his mind and to get vulnerable and to get inside the memory to extract the thing. Because people have pointed out online, like, if you notice the way they sit in the beginning where you see Sylvie trying to interrogate that soldier and at that bar, mm-hmm. is the same positioning that Loki and her are at in the train.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, like, if that's true or just that it's a coincidence, but it's a nice, like, huh. That's cool. Because, you know, you don't just bring up the fact how enchanting works. Enchanting.
Yeah.
And then not use it at some point into some, like, explanation. So I feel like if you are paying attention to that, that's a nice, like, oh, okay. Like, that's the twist. So it's like, you know, it's depressing and she can't break his mind. So she fucking, like, breaks out. And then he's like, aha, I figured, or something, you know?
Have you seen the thing, too, where, like Ravonna Renslayer, like the judge, is in the comics is like the like love interest or one love interest for Kang the Conqueror.
No, I don't know who she was.
Yeah, I guess in the comics, yeah, like it's like she was like in the comics, she was like a some sort of like princess in like whatever like future that Kang comes from, and then there's a whole like comic thing with them. So people are like, oh, is this how they're gonna like sort of introduce Kang? She's gonna turn out to be evil and like working for Kang or like doing something for Kang.
I can see that.
She's gonna kill the timekeepers or something so that Kang can show up and be like, now I control the timeline.
Yeah, I can see basically, yeah, like all this so you can kind of rule without like control from someone else.
It is. It feels like that would be pretty early to like drop that bomb though, because like he's not officially showing up until like 2023 with Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. So.
See, but that's the thing. You've planned that far ahead, but you can't fucking connect WandaVision and Winter Soldier. Like, that makes me, like, that's so upsetting to me. I'm like, God damn it.
Again, I'm going back on that tangent. I'm trying not to, but I've been holding that back because I've been thinking about it all day.
Steve should just talk to Wanda and none of that would have happened.
Yeah, you should have just been like, hey, move on.
It's okay, kid. Yeah.
And that's another thing. It's like, think about Endgame. So, right after, like, Tony Stark's funeral, did Wanda just, like, wait a minute, like...
Or where the fuck is Hawkeye? Like, Hawkeye had, like, this connection to both. Like, he had a connection to, like, Wanda and Quicksilver.
Yeah, he's like,
I'm back with my family. I got my family back. I don't give a shit. Like... I gotta train this new girl.
Yeah, Kate Bishop's like all born to me.
Yeah. So, did you see anything else besides Loki, Chris?
I've been starting to watch Billions.
Okay.
The Showtime show.
Mm-hmm.
It's Aaron Sorkin like co-made it with like two other guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's about this capital investor who named Bobby Axelrod, who basically is very slick on business and has a really keen like understanding of like human behavior for greed and like profit. And he's a guy who basically came from nothing and became like insanely rich just because he knew how to like play the game of business and human nature and kind of like predictable patterns because he's really good at reading like situations. And it's very like reminiscent of House of Cards. And it's easy to just like find a character to like, but you'll find more characters because it's like, they didn't want to focus on just like the one issue because it seems like the first season. I mean, I've been watching clips, so I've been watching over the years, like bits and pieces, but now I'm trying to watch it like straight through from episode one to the current season. And they do a really good job of setting up like a lot about like the main premise about like insider trading, like sneaky deals and betrayals. And then it's like, okay, how can we keep applying that formula over and over again to like different like new problems? So because the first season is about Bobby Axelrod and he's trying to do like really big business deals, setting it up, and then he finds a rival in this like prosecutor who is like the district prosecutor for just like drugs and trade. I forgot exactly what it is, but it's played by what's his name?
Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti, yeah. So Paul Giamatti is amazing in this too. Like he's just got that vibe of like he's reluctant to be this business guy to keep like not the business guy to like keep things in order because he knows like humans, like he understands like the humanity, but it's like his job is to enforce the rules even if he doesn't like it because sometimes he feels bad about it. But he's like, listen, like you didn't follow the rules. It's not my fault. You didn't follow the rules. So I have to like throw the book at you and like you have to be punished. And his thing is like he's trying to work his way up for political aspiration. So he has like this giant streak of like always prosecuting the right people and getting like it done, never like failing. Because when he's like, man, if like basically if you reach to his level of prosecution, like you're like really guilty because he doesn't just prosecute just to fuck around. It's more like I'm there to like really enforce the law. Like at that point, he did his homework. But Bobby Axelrod, he's really good at like telling like not like 90% of like the truth and 10% the lie, so you can't always pin like the crime on him for like doing something, because he's really good at like building up like his image and his like everything looks clean like seamlessly, but then it's like, you know, you just know that he's too, it's like for him he's like the opposite, where basically he's more successful in business, but like, you know, it's all run by ego. He wants to do it because it's like, it's not because it's like good business, it's because it's more like he can.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun to root for both characters. And it's like a cat and mouse game between them in the first season. Things like evolve in weird ways between them and over the show, but I don't want to spoil it so much. But the last season, the latest season, season 5, was like half done before COVID hit, so now I have time to like kind of rush all through them before they get to the like finish up the season 5 and kind of move on to season 6.
Mm-hmm.
So it's free on HBO, I mean Showtime, and it's also on like Amazon Prime Video, so I was able to just like marathon like 5 episodes, and I really like it. And the writing is so, but the thing is, it's one of those like fantasy writing where everyone's like a witty character and they all speak in a like very like dramatic tone where it's like, this doesn't seem real. But that's like the theater of it. It's really like if you just walk into a boardroom and there's some guy shouting out like aggressive ass like speeches and like kind of demands and stuff, you just be like, I'm just gonna like post this video on Facebook and just like have this business shut down. You know, it's like Bobby Axelrod has such crazy rants that you're just like, nah, I'm just gonna take a photo. Like, I'm just gonna tell people this is what happens in this business and you shouldn't work for this guy. Like, something seems suspicious as hell. But I mean, it's cool because it's like they kind of explain that. Like, they do a really good job of explaining why he's so good at keeping loyal people. Because he messes with their minds and like he pays them well, so it's like they're all his coworkers and his business is like everyone's getting a cut, so it's like they have no reason to like tell the truth yet, but that plays up, and I think that's a really good aspect of the show. So definitely catch it, because I feel like it was like talked about, but I guess because the world's getting more into like business and stocks lately, it's definitely a show that like really nails it where you want to watch what you want to watch, like the underdog win, even though the underdog isn't really the underdog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it's gotten good reviews, but I think Showtime, the fact it's on Showtime kind of hinders it, because like Showtime is definitely like a like second or third tier like premium cable channel. Like, it's not HBO or, and it's like it kind of gets overshadowed by like also like Netflix and Prime Video. Like, it's like, I don't think it's anyone's first choice as far as like a subscription. Like, you know, like I'm gonna subscribe to Showtime first. That's my channel of choice. It's like, I think Showtime's like do I have enough like spare money a month to like subscribe to Showtime along with like my other 10 subscriptions? Maybe.
Yeah. Understandable. It's like, that's why I was like, oh, Amazon Prime has it all. Watch on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, what have you been watching?
I watched a couple of movies over the last week or so. I finally saw Running Scared, not the Paul Walker, 2000 movie, or like early 2000s, but the 86 buddy cop movie with Gregory Hines and Billy Crystal, which I think it's actually celebrating its like 35th anniversary this coming weekend, because it came out in June of 86. But yeah, it's I think it's sort of like a, I don't know if it's a cult classic, but like it's as far as like the like 80s buddy cop genre, I think this one's kind of like pretty well regarded. It's like, it's definitely a deeper cut than like Lethal Weapon or any of those other, like 48 Hours or something. It's definitely kind of like if you're into buddy cop movies, you kind of you would know Running Scared, but like it's probably not like the top of like if you ask people name buddy cop movies from the 80s, like Running Scared probably wouldn't be a first choice or second choice. But
it's like buddy cop comedy, but it's like not memorable because they look like just people off the street.
Yeah, they're it's weird because like yeah, they're not undercover, but they're like they're just dressed like Chicago, like just regular Chicago dudes, like, and they drive around like in a shitty car. So it's like
yeah, it's like cops. This looks like a scam. Like, yeah, if this was like we're cops, I'm like this is a scam.
Yeah,
is it like Billy Crystal wearing like a Mets hat or something? Like he just looks.
Oh yeah, he's constantly wearing like Chicago, like either like Blackhawks jerseys or like Cubs shirts and stuff, and the Cubs hat and like.
Is this like it's the weird like late 80s, early 90s, just loose detective wear. Like
and also like their apartments are also weird because like Gregory Hines has like a police motorcycle in his apartment for no reason. This is like how did he get that in there? And like at one point they ride it out of his apartment buildings. It's like, all right. I guess in the 80s you could just like take a police motorcycle home and just have it in your apartment. And then Billy Crystal has like a pinball machine and stuff. So it's they both have like kind of like crazy 80s like apartments that like no one would ever have.
Yeah, they're all like quirky. But I think both of them are like the funny guy. Like
yeah, right? that's kind of what they do. Is like there's not really like a straight man. It's not like there's no Murtaugh. It's like they're both Riggs. They're both like the crazy one. Because they both are like constantly like instigating shootouts or like hassling like shaking down like criminals and stuff. But it's like they're both the same character.
I think that's why it's not too memorable because like both of them are like schlocky like lazy cops, but like there's no one to balance it.
Mm-hmm.
Even their superior is just kind of like, don't get in trouble. Bye.
Yeah. I don't want you guys, don't get shot again like you guys always do. Don't get any shootouts. Oh, their boss is Dan Hedaya, by the way, who's like like awesome and everything. But he's a really great like angry police captain. But yeah, I mean, Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines have like great chemistry together. They have like a lot like there's like so much fun back and forth. It has like a weird like it's a very weird like structure because it's almost like two mini movies with a middle like just like intermission because like they start the movie, they like find out that there's like Jimmy Smits is like this drug kingpin or like up and coming like drug smuggler drug dealer, and so the first half of the movie is like they're like trying to track him down, and then there's Joe Pantoliano's there is like this like informant named Snake that they shake down, and then there's also like and they get into, like a shootout and stuff, and then but then it like wraps up and then like they're like oh it's like oh hey we arrested Jimmy Smits, we're good, yeah, but then it's something like they like the wire they were wearing or something like the wire that like Joe Pantoliano was wearing but he got like killed by Jimmy Smits like shows off like they kind of like they didn't like they almost got killed because like they had to get saved by like two undercover cops that were like they didn't know were there, so like it was kind of like they ran into like this like undercover operation and kind of like almost blew it, but they just like lucked into like catching Jimmy Smits. So then the captain's like, you guys gotta go on vacation, you're like you're getting burned out. So then it's like this weird like 10-minute like Michael McDonald fueled montage of Key West, where they're just like hanging on Key West and like fishing, and then it's like they decide to buy a bar because like we should retire and buy a bar down here because Key West is awesome. So then they headed back to Chicago to quit, but then it's like oh, Jimmy Smits got out on bail, so he's out now again. So then it's like
how long were they there for? Like a day before they went back to quit?
It seemed like a while. It seemed like they were there for like at least like a week, a couple weeks maybe.
But Jimmy said it took them a week to post bail.
Yeah. So, however long they were gone, they're back, and it's like, oh, he's on bail now, and he's like, and so you guys are like, and then like Dan Hedaya is like, well, you guys are retiring, so I guess you don't care about this anymore, and they're like, well, I guess we can do like one last job to bust Jimmy Smits again. so then it's like a second like mini movie of like So it's like the first half is like a mini movie, and then the second half is like a mini movie. It's like it's sort of like the same movie again, where it's like now we gotta catch Jimmy Smits again.
He just repeats the first like bust.
Yeah, but I mean, the second half it's different like action stuff. Like, there's like a second half is actually probably better action wise because it has like the big like final shootout, and also has like a pretty awesome like car chase where like they end up on like the like elevated train track of like Chicago, so it's like these cars like driving on like the crazy like, train track trying to dodge trains and stuff. So actually that's pretty fun. Like there's actually some fun like action stuff going on in Running Scared. It's directed by Peter Hyams, who actually directed like Time Cop and Sudden Death and End of Days and stuff. So he definitely has some like you know like some action like cred going on. But yeah, Running Scared, it's fun. It's definitely like a deep cut buddy cop movie. Like if you haven't seen like some of the classics before, like watch those before this one. But I think it's on Prime Video right now. But I think it might be expiring soon, so it might be on a different service at some point soon. So I would go on like Just Watch or something. That kind of would like see where it is. And then I also watched Martial Law, but not the
Sammo Hung one.
Not the Sammo Hung one. The 91 Cynthia Rothrock movie. Although it's sort of not it's Cynthia Rothrock is like in like she's like on the box art and like it's like sold on like it's like a Cynthia Rothrock movie, but she's sort of like the secondary character in it, which is weird. Like the main character is actually like it's Chad McQueen, who was in I think he was one of like the Cobra Kai guys in the Karate Kid, but then he wasn't one of the guys that came back for like Cobra Kai. He was Dutch in Karate Kid. I don't know Karate Kid enough to like specifically know who Dutch was, but yeah, that was one of his big things, and then but yeah, this is like his big like he's like starring starring action movie role. But yeah, he's like this undercover cop who they send him in undercover and they use karate to take out people. Like the opening of this movie is hilarious because these guys have taken hostages in like this jewelry store, and these guys are just like they're like one step above like the Airheads from like the movie Airheads, like the Adam Sandler like Steve Buscemi guys, because they're like these like idiots who like have somehow like managed to like take hostages in the jewelry store, but they're like we want like their request is like they want pizza. And then they want like a helicopter full of like $1 million and like to fly them away. What so the then, hell? So this guy, so like Chad McQueen, gets sent in as like a Domino's delivery guy, and then like is like they like let him into the jewelry store, and then he just beats the shit out of them after giving them the pizza. And it's just, and then like Chief's like, good job, you got those guys.
Why even give him the pizza? Just beat the shit out of them.
Yeah.
Like. Why did he actually get like a real pizza too?
I think they actually I think they do like a full like he drives up in like a Domino's car and stuff. So they got like the full like cooperation of Domino's or somehow.
Wow.
But yeah, but that's like his introduction. But then like the main plot is that like his Chad McQueen's little brother is getting like caught up in like this like he's basically under the sway of David Carradine, who is a like martial artist drug smuggler, no, like smuggler of like cars and guns and pretty much anything. And then he also has like it's hilarious because like this movie came out like years before Kill Bill, but he's basically using it to kill Bill like the exploding heart technique on everybody. Because like there's this whole thing of like David Carradine is like killing people with a crazy punch.
Kung Fu.
Yeah, like he's using like a punch to the chest and exploding their hearts, basically. So then, like, so it's like, so like the LAPD is like, all these bodies are showing up, but like their hearts exploded. Like, what's going on? And then Chad McQueen, because he's like a karate expert, he's just like, it's the Dim Mak, the dark karate. Like,
oh, this is where like Dim Mak gets invented or like popularized. Maybe. The like death touch.
Yeah, like they mention it, and like the. They explicitly mention it in this movie, so But yeah, he basically gets put on the case of like who the hell is like killing these guys with like one punch to the chest, and then he gets teamed up with Cynthia Rothrock, who is a undercover cop, and they're also like secretly like they're having like secretly seeing each other. I don't know if it's secretly like I don't know if like the police department knows about it, but like they're definitely like sleeping with each other. So then it's basically those two are just like going around like karate fighting people trying to figure out what's going on. it's definitely like compared to like some of the other like Cynthia Rothrock movies, like compared to like I think it was like Honor and Glory or like Sworn to Justice or whatever, where she was like literally psychic. this one's like much more like grounded than some of the other ones, but there's still some like fun ridiculous action in it. They go at one point, they're at this punk like bar, and they're like, getting to fight with like everyone at the bar.
Are they suspects or they just fight everyone?
I think they're going there like figure out if they can like get any information about like this like because like they know there's like people are like there's like one of the guys like I know the dead is like part of like this like car smuggling like the car stealing ring, so it's like, oh, we gotta like maybe someone at this like punk bar knows about these cars getting stolen. And I was also like Professor Toru Tanaka's in it, like from like
Three Ninjas.
Yeah, like he's been in all like he's in all kinds of stuff, like Three Ninjas and all, like always like the giant like karate guy. But yeah, he fights David Carradine, and David Carradine like explodes his heart.
That's funny. He's like this big dude, and David Carradine just kind of like,
yeah, just like bam. Yeah. And I guess there's a sequel. There's like Martial Law 2, where they replace Chad McQueen with Jeff Wincott, but Cynthia Rothrock is still there. And I think that one might be more focused. Like Cynthia Rothrock might be more focused on that one because she's the one who goes undercover. Like it's like this like evil like nightclub or something. But I think they're both on, I saw them on Prime Video, but I think they're under like the IMDb TV umbrella. So there are ads on them, but they're also like, I think it was like Vinegar Syndrome, like the cult, like they like find all these cult movies and like make them like 4K. So the quality of Martial Law and Martial Law 2 are absurdly high, like way higher than these movies deserve. Like they're like Martial Law is in like 4K streaming. So, but yeah, it's fun if you're looking for like a 90s like stupid martial arts movie, it's fun. And yeah, that's pretty much it for me this week. So we can wrap things up. Definitely head over to site. We have our Tokyo Drift commentary up right now, so you can watch that either before or after F9 this weekend, and watch that movie along with us. And we're going to have our video game feature up as well. Probably by the time you hear this, Gamebox 2.0 for June will be up, so you can check out what games we played this month. And all the other stuff that we don't normally put up is up there as well, so head over and check all that stuff out. And yeah, so for Chris, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.